Chapter 8. The Mystery.
The welcome party in the engineer tent the previous night had been one of the strangest experiences of Godric's life. It appeared the Legion really did use its engineering corps as a place to dump the odd ones out and other undesirables. He got on with Magmar best of all. The scarred, muscly dwarf fulfilled all of Godric's prior notions of what he expected a dwarf to be. Shettin and Rack were just too odd to hold any sort of reasonable conversation with. Having been with Penitent Legion for nearly a week now, Godric was ready for the morning alarm, already awake before its deafening tones roused the camp for breakfast. Having eaten and packed their gear, Godric and Tolo were busy disassembling the tent when Zilrin joined them.
Morning, gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed our little get-together last night. I know Shettin did. Haven't seen him that upbeat in a while.
What?
Now that you're both fully fledged members of the Legion, we have this to give you.
With a pleased smile, Zilrin handed a small pouch each to Godric and Tolo. Godric quickly opened the pouch to look at what their Optio had gifted them. Peeking inside the small bag, Godric could see a small, white, crystalline-looking rock. It would fit snugly in the palm of his hand and had an odd odour to it. He quickly recognised the rock as what people commonly called Ascendant's Salt. It wasn't an entirely rare material, but people had been known throughout history to use the salt to increase the strength of their bodies and gain control over their souls and minds. The small Optio beamed even wider at seeing the excitement of the two fresh legionnaires. Ascendant's Salt was not rare, but it was easy for someone to go their entire lives without ever coming across any.
Go find Cook, and he should be able to crush it up with his mortar and pestle. Then you should be able to use it without any problem. I assume you know what you're doing.
The two recruits rushed off to find Cook packing away the last of his kitchen supplies. After explaining what they needed, an excited Cook dug around in his bags for his pestle and mortar, which he used to crush the strange rock into a grainy powder. Handling the powder with care, Cook wrapped the resulting powder into two leather pouches and handed them back to the new legionnaires. Giving each other a look of excited anticipation, the two legionnaires opened the pouches and poured the powder into their shaking hands. Standing there, watching, Godric observed the grainy powder absorb into the palm of his paw, leaving behind a greyish residue. The looks of excitement quickly morphed into faces of disgust and remorse as an acrid aftertaste filled the mouths of the two legionnaires. Holding back a gag and trying to ignore the dry heaving coming from Tolo, Godric looked up to see a smirking Cook.
You never forget your first Ascendant Salt experience.
This stuff was vile. Why had their Optio given it to them as if it was a gift? It only took a moment before Godric felt it. A surge, then a dampening. In a heartbeat, Godric's body felt a thrum of power, threatening to take over before, as quickly as it started, the sensation was gone, leaving a sense of serene calm. It wasn't entirely clear if this calm was just from a contrast with the surge he just felt, or perhaps his entire being was actually more calm and grounded than it had been before.
That was disgusting! Why didn't you give us a warning, Cook?
I'm just following Optio's orders, and I couldn't miss the look of surprise on your face. Oh, what a sight you both were! Ho ho!
The bitter taste of the crushed rock still lingering on their tongues, the two legionnaires made their way back to their cohort, ready to shove off with the rest of Legion Penitents. The Legion marched relentlessly, day after day, further and further west towards the border with Old Sovereignty. Each night they would make camp, and the recruits would undergo more training from the Legion officers and seasoned warriors. They had camped at the Shattered Ravines for an entire day, which at first had seemed odd. Godric wished they could have spent more time there. The enormous canyons had been carved out over several millennia, deep valleys, at points more than a mile deep. They got their name from the huge, jagged cracks spidering out from a central point. High on the peak of one of the ravine cliffs, almost in the centre of the entire geological structure, Godric could just make out a tiny building with what looked to be a giant telescope pointing out from the top. This was the epicentre of the giant cracks. If viewed from above, Godric imagined the entire thing would look like a giant lightning bolt had impacted at the point of the strange building, and the energy had propagated out into the canyons beyond, cracking and shattering rock as it went. It was early the next morning that the reason for their extended stay became apparent. A strange party joined their march. From what Godric heard, it was supposedly an Ascendancy emissary and his entourage. It appeared their trip into the wildlands may hold more than he first thought. They were several days out from the Shattered Ravines when they stopped as normal and the Legion set up camp. Godric found himself with his back to a tree trunk, trying to gain some rest before the evening's exercises and training sessions. Sitting there with his eyes shut, trying to get some shut-eye, Godric couldn't help but overhear a conversation between his optio, Zilrin, and Gimmedin, another member of the Engineering Corps. The two were sat around a fire, discussing something in hushed tones.
"It's strange times, Gimmedin. Strange times."
"Aye, it is. Almost feels familiar, doesn't it? Like we've been here before. What's the Legion doing out in the arse end of the wildlands? Are we here to be kept out the way? Or are we part of some hidden chess move I haven't spotted yet?"
"I tell you why it feels familiar, son. This has Rabar's paw prints all over it. The Grand Strategist is at it again. A mechanism with this many moving pieces. He's the only mind that could fit it all together."
At hearing his father's name, Godric was suddenly wide awake. Not a trace of drowsiness in his mind. Even though he shouldn't really have been eavesdropping on his superiors, Godric felt that he couldn't keep this to himself. He must confront his optio now and find out why his father's name had been dropped so casually in conversation, and why indeed his father was apparently involved in the goings-on of Legion Penitents. From what he knew, his father was retired. Why would he have anything to do with the plans and machinations of the Ascendancy military? Striding up to the bonfire that Gimmedin and Zilrin were sat around, Godric confronted them.
"Did I hear you mention my father just now? Rahmar Godmain? What's he got to do with us in Legion Penitence? He's retired and hasn't been involved in war for years."
Initially shocked at Godric's sudden appearance, Zilrin quickly recovered.
"Your concern is noted. We'll make sure to keep classified matters out of earshot from now on."
Suddenly, the old optio's face softened. What was previously stern and fiery melted into the soft face of the gnome that Godric had come to know.
I'm sorry, Godric, but you shouldn't even know this much. It was poor of us to be discussing such private matters out in the open. Please forget anything you heard. It is inconsequential. The simple musings of two members of a discarded corps of Penitent's Legion.
Now, even more intrigued than he was, Godric was frustrated to realize that his next training session was soon due. Making his way to the clearing where they were scheduled to practice with their ranged weapons, Godric spotted Zelrin sneak around the side and whisper some words into his trainer's ear. It appeared his previous conversation had consequences. What they would end up being, he didn't yet know.
If you'd all please stand behind the line, we're going to practice our range shooting today. I hope that you brought your weapons with you and that they're in good repair. The first lesson you must learn in the Legion is to look after your weapons. Oil them well and make sure the strings remain taut. You there, with the shell, you step up first. See if you can hit the nearest target. It's only 10 feet away, so if you can't hit that, you've got no place in my Legion.
Tolo shuffled up to the designated line. Nervously taking the throwing dagger out of his pouch, Tolo lined up the shot, pulled back his arm, and threw. To Tolo's surprise, more than anyone else's, the dagger flew true, flying perfectly through the air and landing tip first, burying it several inches deep into the bullseye of the target. Godric couldn't help but give a small cheer, Tolo turning to the trainer with a look of joy on his face.
Nice shot, mate!
One of the other recruits shouted, obviously impressed.
All right, that was a good shot, but it was on the nearest target. Next!
The next recruit jostled up to the line and unpacked the sling out of their backpack. Picking up a stone from the nearby forest floor, they swung the sling several times around their head before loosing the rock into a nearby tree, embedding it in the bark and missing the target entirely. Recruit after recruit stumbled up to the line and threw, or fired, various ranged weapons. Javelins, spears, darts, hand axes, crossbows, shortbows, and even a couple of hammers. It continued in this vein until, finally, it was Godric's turn. Feeling he could at least match his faithful servant's efforts, Godric was confident. Since Godric had been given the Ascendant's Salt by Zelrin, he had been practicing several techniques that he'd read about previously but not had the skills to perform. Now that his very soul and body had been calmed and attuned somewhat more, he felt that he should now be able to perform some of the slightly more advanced ones. Deciding to test some of this out on his weapons, risky though it may be, he had managed to infuse his crossbow with some of the magical power emanating from the surroundings. He was now sure that this crossbow would fire slightly more accurately and hit with greater power. In all, he was pleased with his experiments. Unsure how they would develop as time went on, but very sure that he should get hold of more Ascendant Salt, perhaps find a way that it could give him greater and greater returns in the future. Loading his infused crossbow, Godric took aim. The target really was very close. If he missed at this distance, it would be quite embarrassing. Pulling the trigger, the arrow buried itself into the wicker target with a satisfying thump. Though it wasn't a direct comparison, Godric was pleased to see that his bolt did indeed embed itself slightly deeper than Tolo's dagger. It wasn't a competition, though he was disappointed not to get a similar reaction from the trainer that Tolo had. He supposed, after seeing 50 recruits throw various items and weapons at the nearest target, the novelty had worn off for her. Finding Tolo amongst the gathered recruits, Godric had to talk to Tolo about what he'd overheard at the campfire only moments ago.
Tolo, you have to hear what I overheard Zelrin and Gimedin discussing. They mentioned my father and the fact that he might be involved in what Penitent's Legion's doing here. Do you have any idea on any of this? Did Master Marl mention something before we left?
I thought your father was retired.
So did I. But why would Zelrin think he was involved with the Legion now? Maybe I'll have to ask some other people later. Looks like the Centurion wants us back at the firing range.
The training continued until it was too dark for the recruits to see the targets. They progressed from the nearest target to the middle distance and finally the long distance target, their aim and the number of recruits hitting the target decreasing with every step. Much to Godric's surprise and joy, his accuracy actually improved from target to target. The 20-foot one also hit the bullseye as well as the 40-foot, each one embedding itself satisfyingly in the wicker target, leaving no doubt as to Godric's proficiency with his weapon. Perhaps the infusion he had done the night before was more effective than he thought. The next day, the Legion marched again, trudging through the wilderness, over hill and under dale, blazing trails through thick forest and forging rivers. The entire march, Godric was chomping at the bit to talk to someone about what he had overheard at the campfire. Surely, Zelrin and Gimedin knew more than they were letting on, and surely there was someone in the Legion that knew more than they did. Somehow, he'd find a way to piece together how his father was involved in Penitent's Legion and the mission they were currently on. It appeared the words that Zelrin had had with their ranged tutor had had their effect. For the next 3 days, their evening training was so intense that Godric was left with no time to discuss anything with anyone. It wasn't until the fourth day, where they had a scheduled rest, that he was finally able to find someone else to discuss his musings with. Dinner had ended, and the recruits were sat in a clearing of trees, staring up at the bright blue sky fading into a pink and orange sunset.
They didn't joke when they said there'll be no road where we're going,
said Godric, trying to get some of the leaves out of his tangled mane.
I feel like I've got twigs stuck in my shell and I can't reach to get them out. Who knew there were so many trees in the world? Tartarians aren't made for forest life.
But your shell colour gives you the perfect camouflage.
Completely ruined by the rucksack you have me carry around, Godric. I'm pretty sure if a panther came to chase us, it'd pick me first.
I forgot to mention, I managed to create something that struck me as similar to an Arstrax bag. Do you remember those? There was that lady who was trying to invent clothes that would make people look thinner and accidentally inverted the spell, causing the material to have a space bigger on the inside than the outside. Anyway, I made something similar the other night, and I'm pretty sure we could store most of our stuff in there.
Tolo looked at his master and gave a long, suffering sigh.
You said you made this a few nights ago, and I've been carrying this ruddy bag through a forest for 3 stinking days.
You can borrow mine for now. I'm sure I can make one for you later.
You made one for yourself? So kind of you to offer.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly flustered, Godric gathered the leftover materials from his previous experiment, attempting to make another Arstrax-like bag for Tolo. Unfortunately, either he was exhausted from the day's travel and hadn't had a chance to rest yet, or some physical force in the universe prevented it, but he was unable to construct another bag from the scraps he had left over. Face darkening, Tolo got up and made his way to the camp cook site, apparently off to find if dinner was going to be early today. Even more flustered than before, and unsure what to do now, Godric got up and followed Tolo. Maybe dinner really would be early today. Or perhaps now was a good time to try and find someone to quiz about his father and his potential involvement in Penitence Legion. Surely someone around this place knew something. Deciding that it was probably a good idea to give his faithful servant a break, Godric didn't head straight into camp, but diverted to wander around the surrounding area. See the sights, work out exactly where everyone was based in today's camp. The trees in this part of the forest truly were a sight to behold. The greenest green that Godric had ever laid eyes on. Leaves as big as a dinner plate and bark so thick one could build a table from it. He wouldn't be surprised if the trees uprooted themselves and walked around, showing off their fine fronds and knotted bark. The forest seemed alive with the twittering of birds and the buzzing of insects. It really was an incredible feeling having a day off after being beasted night after night, evening after evening, being shaped by the Legion into the warrior he was supposed to be. His idle musings must have distracted him enough that he stumbled into a part of camp he didn't recognize. The Legion had a very particular way of setting up camp, digging trenches and pitching tents in a very organized manner to maximize defensive capabilities and minimize the chance of being surrounded or caught off guard. The haphazard nature of the tent layouts and the more luxurious look of this part of camp told Godric that this was not part of Legion Penitence. Deciding that this must be the emissary's camp, Godric figured this may be a chance for him to figure out some more of the mystery that surrounded Legion Penitence and his father. Upon closer examination, he noted three guards wandering the perimeter of the tents. Walking up to the guards, now at closer inspection they appeared quite fierce and indeed intimidating, Godric attempted the customary Legion salute. Neck raised, fist on heart. Receiving no salute in return, Godric was unsure how he should respond. Not one to be beaten in a stare down, Godric remained standing where he was. The silence continued. The guard staring up at Godric, Godric staring down at the guard. Unfortunately, Godric's nose began to itch. Was it the heat or the bugs? He didn't know. All he knew was that he had to scratch his nose, and scratching his nose meant he would lose eye contact. It became too much for the young Leodin, and he broke the stare down to scratch his nose. It really was getting rather uncomfortable, and this guard was in no way going to move any time soon.
"I'd like to talk to the emissary, if that's possible. My father, Ramar Godmaine, was very insistent about me joining this campaign. I think your leader would be quite interested in hearing what I have to say. As you know, my father has a vested interest in the Legion's campaigns. He was very insistent I joined the Legion for this particular campaign."
The guard remained silent, staring straight ahead, not moving, not engaging Godric in any way. Obviously unpersuaded by his bluff, the guard refused to move or allow Godric access to this special part of camp.
"That's nice, pretty boy. Now why don't you go tell that to someone who might give 2 pennies? I've got work to do. Please, bugger off."
It appeared his persuasion tactics weren't as strong as he hoped, and his father's influence had less effect than he figured it would. Summarily dismissed, Godric made his way back to the main camp, his proverbial tail between his legs. Returning from his disappointing encounter with the emissary to his bedroll, he found a pile of his books stacked beside his bed. Tolo had obviously removed them from his bag and placed them there. Why? Godric didn't yet know. Tolo was already asleep in the corner, so it appeared he wasn't about to repack them. Maybe Godric would have to carry them himself. A frightful thought, really. Disgruntled at not having made any headway in deciphering the mystery of his father's involvement, Godric had a fitful night, dreaming of falling rocks and his father with a sinister look on his face, gleefully watching as the men and women under his command were crushed by the giant rock of the stumbling peak. The Legion picked up its previous pace, marching day after day, training the recruits in the evening and travelling during the day. Godric and Tolo were given little rest and even less time to interrogate the various officers and members of the Legion as to the mystery that Godric had stumbled upon. It wasn't until 2 days before they reached their destination that Godric finally found a moment to do some more digging. Having finally exhausted all of the legitimate and credible sources for working out what this mystery was, Godric had to turn to a less credible source. Gimedin seemed to be involved in some underground trade program. He had promised Godric a more comfy bed for their travels, something that hadn't yet materialized. However, during the marches and various training regimes that they had been put through, Godric had come to know many of the Penitent's legionnaires. And the one that was undoubtedly the man for the job was Porsche. Porsche, at first appearances, was a rather stuck-up, aristocratic, whiny, middle-aged man. Despite his looks, Porsche was a man that had his fingers in many pies. If you needed something in Legion Penitence, Porsche was the man who could get it for you. Need some illicit alcohol? Porsche was your man. Need some more herbs for your pipe? Porsche will find them. Need an upgrade on that rusted weapon the Legion had issued you? Porsche will find a way. If anyone knew anything about his father's involvement in the Legion, Porsche would be that person. As he always said, gossip and information was his most valuable trading product. Shuffling off to the more disreputable corner of the camp, Godric quickly found Porsche sitting with his customary friends around a large log, playing cards and rolling dice.
Ah, Godric Godmane. I've been expecting you. Finally decided to drop by, I see. Maybe you have some information you want. Some little trinket of knowledge you've been trying to get hold of. How? Well, you must know, Godric, your business is my business. Not a thing goes on in this camp that little old Porsche here doesn't know about. You're wondering what your father's involvement in Legion Penitence is. Ho-ho! Well, my good fellow, it'll cost you. I don't give away information like that for free. What can you offer, dear old Porsche?
How about we trade information for information?
Oh, that does tickle my fancy. What possible information could Godric Godmane have? I do hope it's juicy. Tell you what, you tell me what you know, and I'll reveal as much of what I know as I think your information's worth.
How do I know you won't cheat me?
I would never let my name be tarnished by cheating someone like you, Godric Godmain. I assure you the word would travel, and my information would never be trusted again. Rest assured. Tell me the information you know, and I shall respond in kind.
Okay, Borsch. I've got something that'll tickle your fancy. Before I joined the Legion, I heard of a deal my father was making. I know for a fact that he will soon be in possession of a surplus of fine iron due to some business dealing with a dwarf named Brosnal Ironcart. Do with that information what you wish, but I'm sure inside Legion Penitence there's much use for fresh iron.
Ooh, that is rather juicy. Fair enough, Godric, fair enough. You've earned a decent chunk of what I know. Let me start by saying this. Your father is not involved in Legion Penitence, though it may seem that he is. I understand why a person like you might be led down that line of thinking. But no, the higher-ups in the Ascendancy don't want to involve your father any more than they already have.
But the script we're on was penned by the same hand as the battle your father is most famous for. You can see why people would think they were thought up by the same strategist, There are power plays, Godric. Things going on behind the veil that they don't want us lowlives to see. They play their games and their politics, and in the end it's us that have to pay the price. Not me. I know enough to keep myself out of harm's way. You should get yourself more informed, Godric. You might stumble one day and trip into an accident. We wouldn't want that, would we?
Not sure whether he was being threatened or warned, Godric left to go rejoin his cohort, now more confused than he had been before his conversation with Porsche. Hopefully, a good night's sleep would help him unravel the trail of breadcrumbs that Porsche had tried to leave for him. Alas, it was unlikely he would have any more time to question various members of the Legion. They would arrive at their destination in only 2 days. Whether his father was involved or not, the mystery of what Legion Penitence was doing out in the Wildlands would soon become apparent.